was good of you to take the time and trouble. But more important, thank you for your prayers. I am most grateful. Your letter has taken some time to get here because of the rush in the mailroom. By coincidence, your grandfather is having dinner with us tonight here in the White House. I shall tell him of your letter and give him your greetings. Again, thanks, and best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Governor and Mrs. Robert Orr, O-R-R. Dear Josie, J-O-S-I-E, and Bob, it was good to hear from you, but even better to have had you on the plane on that trip to South Bend. Nancy and I are only sorry that we couldn't have spent more time together. But I was belabored with homework. Having been a veteran of the riots of the 60s, when my presence on a campus would cause a riot, I can tell you the warmth of our reception at Notre Dame is a memory we'll long treasure. I hope our paths cross again soon. Nancy sends her best. Best regards, Ron. This one to Mr. Frank Capra. Dear Frank, I'm quite late at replying to your good letter of May 22nd, but the mailroom here is pretty jammed up. I have only just received it. I thank you for it, and please tell Lou, L-U, that Nancy is most grateful for her kind words. You were right about something. The man upstairs was truly looking out for me. I am fully recovered and feel just great. I hope our paths will cross again in the not too distant future. In the meantime, thanks again, and best regards, Ron. This one to Mrs. Evelyn Peck, P-E-C-K. Dear Mrs. Peck, I know I'm very late with this reply, but I want to thank you for your kind letter of April 1st. In view of your experience and that of your husband, we certainly can empathize with each other. Like you, it took me quite a while to realize such a thing had actually happened. I am fully recovered now and enjoying that sunshine you spoke of, and that special feeling. I feel just fine. Give your husband my regards, and again, thank you for your good wishes. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Miss Chris, K-R-I-S, Smith. Dear Miss Smith, thank you very much for your letter. I think it is especially kind, since you feel we have so little in common ideologically, for you to write as you did the warmth that you did. I am most grateful. I am fully recovered now and feeling just fine. But do you know, I have a feeling that if we had an opportunity to visit, you would find we aren't as incompatible as you might think. I grew up a New Deal Democrat, found later on that the party had taken certain courses I could not follow. But beyond that, while I like to shoot and have some guns, my shooting is done at targets and tin cans. I am not a hunter, never have been a trapper. I do find a sympathy coming from the West with the Sagebrush Rebellion. I don't think it's right for the federal government to own as much as 80% of a state. And as for animals, we have 4 dogs and 7 horses, and rejoice in the fact that when we ride on our ranch, we see mountain lion and bear tracks every once in a while. Again, thanks. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one to Mr. J.J. McFadden, M.C., capital F-A-D-D-E-N. Dear Mr. McFadden, thank you very much for your letter. And let me assure you, I share your views about tuition tax credits. If it is impossible to get such legislation in our present economic recovery bill, I assure you, it will be in a follow-up bill once this plan is implemented. Thank you for your prayers and for your good wishes. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one to Sister Mary Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. Dear Sister Mary Sarah, thank you for your letter of May 5th, and thank you for your prayers. I thought you would like to know that Mother Teresa was our guest for lunch here at the White House a short time ago, and it was a most inspiring experience. Again, my thanks for your letter, and best regards, Ronald Reagan. On this next one, I don't know whether Gertrude, spelled G-E-R-T-R-A-U-D-E, is male or female, but I see that whichever it is, there's a nickname, Trudy. So, the last name is Crabb, C-R-A-B-B. So, I'm going to make my salutation. Dear Trudy, forgive me for that familiarity, but I felt so good about your fine letter and your approval of what we're trying to do that I just couldn't be formal. I hope deregulation hasn't been too hard on your business, and I appreciate more than I can say your willingness to make a sacrifice and your belief that industry will be more efficient. We hope in the near future that we can make a great many unnecessary and burdensome regulations go away and have a task force working on that right now. Thank you for your words of support. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Mrs. Lowell A. Salzman, S-A-L-Z-M-A-N. Dear Mrs. Salzman, this is just a brief line to thank you for your letter of May 12th. If I needed anything to encourage me in what we're trying to do, your letter would do it. I know it was from the heart, and I know also you made a great deal more sense than is often heard in the halls of government. Much of your letter is going to be read to the members of my cabinet, because I believe they too will be inspired by hearing it. We will have you in mind and others like you as we try to heal the economy. Thank you again. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. And this one goes to Professor Yaffa, Y-A-F-F-A, Eliac, E-L-I-A-C-H. Dear Professor Eliac, thank you very much for your letter and for the fine article you sent me to read. You were kind to take the time and trouble, and I am most grateful. Right now, I realize we're having a little problem that may cause some unhappiness. Let me assure you, we have no intention of retreating from our commitment to the safety of Israel. We shall continue our policy of friendship and support. What is going on now comes under the heading of diplomacy because of our desire to retain credibility with the other nations of the Middle East so that we can continue trying to bring peace to that troubled area. Thank you again for your letter, and best regards, Ronald Reagan. This goes to Mr. W. O. Pettiner, P-E-T-T-I-N-E-R,
Dear Mr. Pettiner, just a brief note to answer your good letter of May 6th, and to express my appreciation for your generous offer of help.
I have been exploring the possibility
of perhaps offering some kind of tax deduction for people like yourselves who have paid and therefore are entitled to receive Social Security, but who have outside income of substantial size. With this, I have wondered if for those yet to come, we couldn't evolve a system whereby people who showed each year with their income tax return that they were making provision for their non-working years, that they would be exempt from the Social Security program. As I say, these are just things I am exploring, and I shall certainly add your suggestion to that list. Again, my thanks. Very best regards, Ronald Reagan.
This one goes to a Dr. Vance, V-A-N-C-E, D. Bishop. Dear Dr. Bishop, I thought a long time before answering your letter of April 18th. And then I just couldn't let it go by without replying. First, let me say, I believe in birth control. But I think that's far different than an abortion policy, which in my view means the taking of human life. In the recent hearings before the Congress, some very eminent individuals from the medical profession agreed that they could not determine exactly when human life begins. It seems to me that until we make that determination, we must opt for the fact that the unborn child is alive until it can be proven otherwise. If you came upon a body and could not know whether the individual was dead or in a cataleptic trance, I'm quite sure you would wait until you knew for certain. You wouldn't promptly start burying that body. If we are going to make economic problems the basis for whether we take that human life or not, then how different are we than Hitler when he decided that all the mentally ill or the crippled or the helpless should be eliminated for the good of the Third Reich? Since some aborted babies do remain alive until disposed of, what really is the difference between abortion or killing the unwanted baby after it's born? Why shouldn't we change some of the so-called social reforms that have made it economically advantageous for some to have illegitimate children, and do more to encourage adoption? Millions of people are waiting in line in this country for the so-called unwanted child. I myself am a child, or should say I was a child of an adopted child.
Legally, the unborn have a right, protected by law, to own property. And yet, by law today, they can't protect their lives.